This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
That was Braden Keith of Swim Swam News telling us.
Gosh.
No.
Stop.
That was my friend David Glenn yesterday from the show giving us some actual news from a dude who knows the landscape. I'll tell you what I'm an expert in. Like, I have a feel for the state of North Carolina, and I know some things. David has a feel for the ACC and knows a lot of things and a lot of people, and there are plenty of other people. We talked about this before. If David Teal, if David Glenn, if Joe Giglio, if Luke Dukak, there are others on these lists, had some credible report about UNC or Clemson or Virginia or Florida State or anybody moving, then I'd be the first one hopping on here and say, folks, it's happening, because fill in the blank with one of those credible people reporting it, reported it. Instead, again, it's going to go down as an all-timer. What's the fake high school football team that played Bishop Sycamore?
Yes.
The only reason you remember the name Bishop Sycamore High School is for the jokes of, like, you know, if you show up to play a high school football game and the other team forgot that you were going to show and nobody showed up, you'd be like, oh, who'd we schedule? Bishop Sycamore? So from now on, if this turns out to be a fake report, which I'm thinking it is, then for the next 5 or 10 years, anytime there's a bad report, somebody's going to be like, credit Swim Swim News with that one. And now we got swimming people mad because they're like, wait a minute, Swim Swim News is a legitimate, credible site.
Yeah.
You know what probably, and I've seen this happen before with myself, with my friends. I used to mostly run David Glenn's Twitter account. And you know that you've got some attention in the college sports world, and you think you've got some decent information, and you're looking around on Twitter, and you're like, I haven't seen anybody else share this. For me, one time, it was like an injury report somewhere around the ACC, and at the time, it was pretty big. And I was like, Dave, I think I know this. I'm going to tweet this out from, it's your name on the account, but like, I feel good about this. I vetted it. And you put it out, and people are like, no way. You don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, you stand by it. So like, that dude right now is sitting there, but he probably has a good friend who works at ESPN or one of the schools, mm-hmm. who that person told them something that they thought and wanted to be true. This person in the rush to be like, I might actually be able to break some huge news, because they're probably a decent reporter, and they've just gotten a little bit ahead of themselves in a subject where they don't quite have the expert sources. But again, I'll be happy to come back on here tomorrow and say, I won't say I'm the idiot for doubting Swim Swim News, okay? I will not apologize for approaching with caution a Swim Swim News report on the demise of the ACC. But I will come back here and admit I was wrong if I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, that dude is just sitting around very, very nervous, knowing that he's got, I don't know exactly what metaphor to use, but like, he's out there. He has put out there a big report that many people are doubting, mm-hmm. and he is sitting there hoping that it gets backed up. Well, and right now, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I think the big hang up for a lot of people, how he just says source.
Sure.
As in like singular. Unless that source is an athletic director,
right?
Like let's say if it was Bubba Cunningham.
Right.
And Cunningham didn't want to be quoted. Okay, that's different, but usually you want to have multiple sources. That's why oftentimes when you see reports, you know, sources, you know, XYZ happened. So I think that's what's maybe hanging up some people in regards to media. We could be completely wrong.
Yeah, the other thing,
and we're all stooges.
It does say the schools are negotiating to join the ACC. Now, that could mean a lot of things. Again, this person might know the swimming coach at UVA, and the swimming coach at UVA is like, I've heard our athletic director is taking calls from ESPN and the SEC, right? And they're like, negotiations. You know, they aren't reporting that they're leaving. They're reporting negotiations. I'm reporting my skepticism. Let us review some of the interesting, entertaining, informational, silly, and or funny audio from the day. It is the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
First up on the Wall of Sound, we had something happen in baseball that I had never seen before, and I'm assuming that's what the broadcasters say, although I don't understand what they're saying, but I enjoyed it. It is a home run that hits the foul pole, which, of course, is a home run. If you hit the foul pole, it's a home run. But it does not hit the foul pole on the side. I don't know what you would consider the side of the foul pole. But it hits the tippy top of the foul pole and bounces over it. This is what it sounded like. That's the slow-mo that you see it bouncing off the foul pole. Why do broadcasters in other countries always sound more interesting than ours?
That's correct.
More interesting and more entertaining. Yes, a home run that bounced off the top of the foul pole, and that is what it sounded like. Let's keep it in baseball, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know this happened. This proves how little baseball that I know or have been watching. I guess now I knew that we had challenges and replay in baseball. I did not know that we were forcing the umps to go full NFL ref and explain to the crowd what happened in the replay. But it seems like the baseball umps need a little bit more work in the tech department. This feels like a football ref from the 1990s when like half the time their mics worked. And here's what it sounded like.
The reaction is it would have hit the top of the yellow stripe and bounced back onto the field of play. I'm with you.
After review, there was tandem interference.
Come on.
There's no home run. No score. Runners are placed at third and second base.
He also had to put it up. He was like, no home run.
Like, yeah, we're like making, signaling.
Like, we're making him do new signals. I'm like, let's just let, I mean, out and safe are about all we ask as far as like signals from umpires, right?
Actually, fair foul.
Fair foul is just pointing, But you know what? I've been noticing in the poor umps in the minor leagues now, they got a pitch clock to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know all the rules because I've seen them use them and they are being enforced and they definitely are speeding up games. But like, I don't know exactly what time the batter needs to be in the box by or the pitcher has to start pitching by. But I've seen umpires assess these new penalties. But then they also, they're like resetting the shot clock. There's like a double hand wave. If they're like, they're saying forget the clock because, you know, maybe sometimes like all the things that can happen in baseball. Like the pitcher's on the mound and he's not stepping off. But then a ball rolls onto the field that was in the bullpen or whatever, and they got to stop for that. Well, obviously, they're not going to punish the pitcher for not pitching when that happens. So then he's, like, waving his arms, just saying, like, oh, forget the clock, whatever. So a lot more signals, and now they got to worry about their microphones.
Are we Reset the play clock.
We need to do – there needs to be some universal even the replay signal. We got the whirling of finger in the NBA – in MLB, it's the headphones, right? In soccer, we draw the square with our fingers in the air. Like, can we get a universal sign for replay? Some of these things go across sports, right? Can we just can we come up with signs?
I kind of like the soccer, just the square. Like, we're going to the monitor.
I am going to the screen. It's a little cabin in the woods. That's what it always reminds me of. But yes. Next up on the wall of sound, let's go back and hear some more about Baker Mayfield. From the morning show, guys, Keyshawn on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, he thinks that the Panthers got the better end of the Baker Mayfield deal.
Carolina Panthers certainly got the best of this, right? They get a free look. They pay $4 million for a basic backup-type quarterback. If he beats out Sam, he's a starter. If he doesn't beat out Sam, Sam's a starter. He's the backup, and that's the way it goes. So, you know, Cleveland knew at some point Baker Mayfield as a player wanted to get back on the football field to show his worth, and he would certainly take a pay cut to be able to do that. And I think that is what got the deal done. I just thought if he'd have did it, Seattle was just seemed like a better destination for me, given the fact that the head coach in Seattle and Pete Carroll is the one who's actually running the operation.
But more important than what Keyshawn Johnson thinks of the move is the guys who are actually going to be playing with Baker Mayfield. Robbie Anderson was put in an interesting position because when there was a report out, I can't remember where this happened. I think it was on Instagram somewhere, and there was a report out that the Panthers were interested in trading for Baker Mayfield. The Bakers were interested in trading for Panther Mayfield. That would be even cooler.
Yes.
If our team was named the Bakers and we were trading for a quarterback named Panther, I would love that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Panthers were trading for Baker Mayfield, and Robbie Anderson like commented on Instagram. I can't remember what he said. Was it like thumbs down or like nope? Basically seeming like he was in disagreement, and people took it as, I don't want Baker Mayfield specifically. So this week when the news was coming out that Baker Mayfield was coming, although actually this could have been, I can't remember exactly.
I think it was during OTAs.
Okay, yes, it was.
It just resurfaced.
They asked Robbie Anderson what he meant when he was commenting about Baker Mayfield like that.
I said what I said, you know. That's just my thinking out loud, my thought, you know.
What influenced that particular...
You know, just trying to be a good teammate to my quarterback, you know? That's it. Just trying to defend the guy who is my quarterback in a sense, you know what I'm saying? That's it.
It's really unfair.
Stop.
It's my team.
Stop! You didn't do that.
It's my quarterback. If you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
Man, why'd you do that to Robbie? That's unfair what you just did to Robbie Anderson. I didn't even know that was coming.
I know you didn't.
I'm surprised you weren't pushing me to go to that audio earlier. Anyway, here's what I was about to say. Robbie Anderson seems like a dude, and I don't mean this as a knock. Eloquence with words is not his number one skill, right? But I saw actual, like, real heart, and he delivered the message exactly that he meant to convey of, it was not a knock on Baker Mayfield. It was, I've got a dude who's my quarterback, and if I see rumors that suggests that we need somebody better than what we got, I'm saying, nah, we're good. So again, like, I kind of credit Robbie Anderson for, you know, not throwing a fit when he's being asked about it. Stan's like, yes, I made it, but don't take it as anything anti-Baker Mayfield. Take it as, I was trying to be a good teammate, and when I see a social media post about basically like, oh, the Panthers might consider upgrading, I was saying, no, we've got a starting quarterback. And then Dennis Cox has to go to that.
It's my
turn. Team.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
That's good stuff.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
It's 4th of July week. We weren't in here on the 4th of July, but if you ain't eating hot dogs this week, when are you? North Carolina has some of the best hot dog places ever. We'll talk to the man who, that's what he does. He reviews hot dogs. At How's the Hot Dog, my man Jesse will talk to us at 2:30. We will definitively find the greatest hot dog in the state of North Carolina. But first, we've got to do whatever it is you want us to do. It is the listener's choice. Do we call it listener's choice?
Sure.
What? That sounds like a no, like you call it something else.
Yeah.
Listener's choice. We had topics. You voted on them. Your options were Baker Mayfield, ACC Pac-12 Alliance, Aaron Rodgers tattoo, or it's hot. 28% of you voted for it's hot and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
8% of you voted for Aaron Rodgers tattoo. That's a good choice. Should want to talk about that. And 36% wanted us to talk about the ACC Pac-12 Alliance. Now, the latest news on this is potential media deal. As it happens, there's like your main TV partner, right? And then they don't have enough room to play everything, so they've got some extra stuff, right?
Yeah.
So like right now, the Big Ten's main TV partner is Fox, but even Fox won't carry every Big Ten game, especially now that they've gone up 16 schools. So there will be another partner. Maybe Apple comes in. Maybe Amazon, a streaming service. Maybe a regional network. Here in ACC land, we know it's ESPN gets most of it, and they put it on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, or the ACC network. And then some spillover stuff goes to what used to be Fox Sports South or whatever, and now is Bally Sports, right? So same thing will happen with the Pac-12 now. They are trying to sell their rights to somebody and figure out who the deal could be with. And in a potential deal with ESPN, the Pac-12 has gotten rid of the Pac-12 network because it was a disaster.
Yeah, awful.
Like, remember you would like be scrolling through and you would see like 13 things listed as Pac-12 network, but you didn't even know what any of them were because it was like different events or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was bad. It never gained any ground. Now, the ACC network is a distant third at best behind the Big Ten and the SEC networks. But the discussion specifically, as it would interest fans, would be for Pac-12 games to air on the ACC network. Like if ESPN bought the whole package and then they had ACC games, SEC games, and Pac-12 games, could they air some Pac-12 games starting at 10 o'clock on the ACC network, right? Yeah. Obviously, if Clemson and NC State have a big showdown, their top 15, that's going to be on ESPN. But, like, there's probably a Georgia Tech-Pitt game going on ACC network at 7 o'clock, right? And now those 10 o'clock games, because it's West Coast, so there's 7 o'clock games out there, could they run that on an ACC network or a renamed ACC network, which I don't know whether they're going to call it ESPN
Coastal,
Bi-Coastal, or ESPNU Part 2? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe ESPNU could just become the Pac-12 ACC network. Now, where this is not a knock on the ACC network or any of their talent or whatever, but from what I read, there's no ACC programming that moves the needle in a crazy way that's worth a lot of money, right? The whole purpose of these channels mostly is to play the games. There may be some breakthrough properties on this Big Ten or SEC networks because they've gotten other big eyeballs, but that's not what the people are paying for. People are paying to have live games, right? So it seems like if you're ESPN, you don't have to put on a 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock Saturday night recap show where you're paying the salary of some folks at the ACC network to do a show that, again, I'm not knocking, I'm sure they do a good job, but if you're a college football fan, you'd probably rather be watching Utah, Oregon, you know, rather than watching people talk about the day in the ACC. So it would make sense to replace a nighttime studio show, or just at what time do they start replaying the ACC game of the day? At like 11 o'clock or midnight or whatever?
Something like that.
No, better just to put on a Pac-12 game. I personally, I mean, there's the little bit, the pride of like, oh man, ACC, I wish we were big enough to carry our own channel, but like we're behind the SEC and the Big Ten, and because we don't have the football as the football inventory that drives eyeballs in the same way that those conferences do.
Yeah, I know like a big stickler back this spring was how baseball, the ACC baseball tournament, you couldn't even watch on the ACC network.
Yeah, that's a
different issue,
discussion.
But
yes, it is. That was severely disappointing. It seems like one of the perfect reasons to have the ACC network is carry all of your conference championships. Like, so when someone says, tennis isn't my favorite sport, but if I knew the finals were on right now on Wednesday at 2 o'clock and my school was playing in it, where would I find it? Let me start with the ACC network. Like, that's a good branding thing to have. All your championships, be it cross country, baseball, but whatever's not going to be on main ESPN, people would know, start with the ACC network. So, but my feeling's not going to get hurt if they change the name to the, the Bi-Coastal.
Yeah. And there was also conversations as well about for the Pac-12, Pac-10, for the Pac schools, that their Olympic sports, stuff that they won't throw on the whatever ACC network, whatever it's going to be called, that it can live on ESPN+. So ESPN would have that inventory on their digital space as well for, hey, it's Oregon State softball.
Yeah.
or they like, could throw that game on there, or UCLA gymnastics
that does well, like stuff like that. Yeah, I mean that's basically what exists now. Almost every sport is existing streaming somewhere.
Yes,
in the ACC, somewhere on ESPN's channel. So more inventory there, and you know, get subscribers that way for UCLA gymnastics.
I'm wondering if they're gonna, because of that, if we are going to legit see, hey, every, or just about every ACC school, because the differing number of schools in each conference, where you get one crossover game each year. Like, you get Cal comes and plays North Carolina.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
It gets a little tricky because the schools that have those built-in SEC rivalries, like, you know, Georgia Tech has to play Georgia, Louisville has to play Kentucky.
Clemson, South Carolina.
They don't love saying now that they're going to play all their conference games. They've got basically an SEC team they have to play. They're not going to love being told, and you have to pay a Pac-12 team. But they'll probably figure out some way to schedule each other more often, if not a 100% one-to-one, you will play a Pac-12 or ACC team every year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. How it's not going to shake out is how Swim News said it's going to shake out of yeah. UNC, Virginia, Clemson, Florida State going to the SEC.
Community is always worth celebrating. The same goes for the businesses born within them. And with Drizzly, the number one app for alcohol delivery, you can find the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits that are Black-owned and women-owned and more. Then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. Now you can sip with purpose and discover great drinks with stories worth celebrating. Download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's DRIZLY.com to start sipping with purpose.
What the heck is this song? I mean, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
I've just never heard it before.
It's Mickey Mouse, Clubhouse, Hot Dog.
I love it. If you're like me, and you know, you're an actual American, you've had a hot dog this week. If not, get out of here. No, I'm kidding. We all make different health decisions. But traditionally around the 4th of July, hot dogs have their time. I assume that July 4th is National Hot Dog Day. If it's not, I'm sure we can ask our next guest when it is. But hot dog is a great food. It also has different varieties. And North Carolina has a lot of great hot dog spots. Some have been around for almost 100 years in some cases. Some have seemingly never changed a thing on their wall. And many of them have nostalgia to them. But we also have new places that are cropping up with hot dogs. The man who checks them all out, he is diligent. He works hard. He puts up new reviews of hot dogs all the time. You can follow him best on Instagram so you can see the pictures at Howl's the Hot Dog. There's no apostrophe in there. Howl's the Hot Dog. But you can also follow him on Twitter. He's on there too. And he's a big-time sports radio listener. He's a sports fan. So we may even ask him if he gets his college football realignment news from Swim News. It is our man, Howl's the Hot Dog, Jesse. What's going on, dude?
Not much, Hayes. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Can I ask you, did you have a hot dog for lunch today? Do you have a hot dog every day?
I don't have them every day, and I've not consumed one today, but there's one in the works for dinner. I'm hitting up the Bulls tonight.
Oh, nice. So a ballpark hot dog is obviously a good one. All right, have you considered, since Swim News is weighing in on conference realignment, have you considered, even though you're a hot dog-only site, have you considered breaking any news on college football realignment on your How's the Hot Dog Instagram?
I have not considered that. However, I'm interested to see what the makeup's going to be, because I've been to many, many games at Carter-Finley, NC State grad. However, I've not been in the, correct mindset to review a Carter-Finley dog with the respect it deserves.
Sure. All right. I want to ask how you got into this. You got to go check out his Instagram page, How's the Hot Dog. The pictures are great. It is a hobby, but he doesn't just do this like, oh, I like the dog. He's got a system. He takes great pictures. He has visited some of the elite places, and he's also found some new places to get a dog. So let me just ask, like, how did you decide this is the thing I'm going to do? I'm going to become the hot dog reviewer here in North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, so like most good North Carolinians do, I grew up on hot dogs, and I was kicking around last year, coming off the pandemic. Well, still there, but, needed something to occupy my time. I like eating hot dogs. I like taking pictures. I like traveling around. So it kind of gave me an excuse to visit some places I otherwise wouldn't have and have some hot dogs.
And is hot dog your favorite food, or is it just one you saw an opening of like, yeah, it's good pair of like what happens in North Carolina? There's probably too many people trying to be the barbecue reviewer, but the hot dog is a lane I can own. Or was that like truly you've always been a number one hot dog fan?
I mean, I've always loved them, but definitely I think the hot dog is unique because, you know, everyone eats hot dogs. Some might try to act like they're too good for them, bust out a knife and a fork for a hot dog or something. But
what?
But everyone's eating them. You know, your president's eating them. Your lowly, you know, anybody's eating hot dogs. It brings you together. You eat it with your hands. It's just a good thing. So
you
know,
I like how you went, you're lowly, and then like you didn't want to actually ascribe a like job that would be lowly or the person. You just kind of left that. The lowly, whatever. Everybody eats hot dogs. I like how you avoided
you know,
that
I didn't
one.
Want to say like radio producer and drop dentist or anything. But, you know. But you know, everybody eats hot dogs.
You definitely should have. But good makeup for it there. All right, before we get into your list of the best five hot dog places in North Carolina. And even that is an interesting, complicated question, and I'll address that why in a second. But also, understanding that your reviews are your own. They're your own interpretations of the dog. I assume that you'll agree with a lot of general consensus of what the best places are, but everybody's got their own thing that they may prefer. You know, if you love coleslaw, then a hot dog place that has great coleslaw might rise up your list, whereas if you don't prefer slaw, then that's not going to help at all. But when you are thinking about what a perfect hot dog is, and again, not specific to any brand or place or town right now, in your mind, what is the makeup of a perfect dog? Bun, dog, toppings, etc.
Yeah, all the above of what you mentioned. It's called a hot dog, right? So you gotta have a good dog. Personal preference, you know, I love the beef and pork red blend that we find here down in the South. But you can't go wrong with an all beef dog. You gotta have a good size, right? You know,
okay.
You know, there's an innuendo there. But
sure.
I'd like them fried. But honestly, the best way I've had them, it's got to be on a flat top grill, especially if it's being prepared adjacent to some burgers, you know, get some of that cross flavorizing going on, crisp up that outside, get a nice crust for a good crunch is great. When it comes to the bun, I mean, the tires are the things on your car that make contact with the road. People don't think about that, you know, tires on your car, it's important. Well, for the bun, that's really what delivers the dog and the toppings to your mouth. So don't just pull a bun out of a package and give it to me. I mean, I'm still going to eat it.
Sure.
Let's get some treatment on that thing. Let's have it toasted. Let's have it garlic butter. Let's steam it. I've even had pretzel buns, all right? And also, appropriate size. You don't want that first bite to be full of bread, and it needs to be structurally sound. Nothing worse than having a great dog just fall apart on you because the bun is subpar.
This is great stuff.
When it comes to toppings, you know, most of these places, if they've got a signature dog that they, you know, hawk or something named after them, I'll go ahead and get that.
Gotcha.
If they don't, I go ahead Carolina style, mustard, chili, onion, slaws. You know, but also like some unique stuff. There's a place in Greensboro I'll shout out, Emma Key's Flat Top Grill. They had pimento cheese, grilled red onions, bacon, and dill pickle chips with spicy mayo. So something a little funky every now and then is good.
All right. Okay, I like it. We're talking to Jesse from How's the Hot Dog. Give him a follow at How's the Hot Dog on Instagram. You might end up with a sticker. He's got cool stickers. Great, takes great pictures. He's hit some of the places that I know very well. The Roast Grill in Raleigh. Dick's in Wilson. Shorty's in Wake Forest. Bill's in Washington. Yum Yum's in Greensboro. Snoopy's in Raleigh and a couple other places. These are the places that I know, and I know probably rated pretty high. Tell me, and again, we have to kind of define this question. I want to ask you what your top five hot dog places are, and then maybe five or three, whatever you want to give me, of like you mentioned, some places have an actual specific dog. So first give me your five best places to get any hot dog, and then maybe your three best. And they could still be from one of those places, but, you know, the blank dog at whatever, you know what I mean? The signature one at a certain place. But let's start with the most important. What are the five best hot dog places in North Carolina?
All right, number one. Everyone
whoa. Let's go 5, 4, 3, 2. A little radio drama here. Let's go 5-1.
All right, we can do it. Breaking in at number five. This is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Okay.
This place is called Pulliam's. Basically, it's like a one-room hut. They sell hot dogs and barbecue sandwiches, and it's pretty awesome, highly reviewed. if you look up, you know, top hot dogs, it's on the list.
All right, it is, but I got to say, I don't know Pulliam, so I'll have to check that one out. That's number five. What's number four?
Number four, so this is around Raleigh. It's Mobile, Rescue Dogs Food Truck. They totally lean into the innuendo with silly names and stuff like that. Cool thing about them, the dogs are delicious. And then a lot of their profits, they actually donate a portion to mental health for first responders. So that's a really cool thing as well.
That
good
is
dogs and a good mission.
Very cool. And I've never had theirs either. So that's two more on my list. All right. Top three. I'm sure one of these I'm going to be like, oh, yes, I concur. That is a great dog place. What's number three?
Number three, Capone's Chicago Eats. Now, this is a food truck that sets up off of Holly Spring Roads, Penny Roads, that kind of way. And the guy is from Chicago. Like, he is legit. He uses all Vienna beef ingredients, totally legit. Awesome flavor. All the ingredients are right. It's perfect. There's a guy, actually, I went to here's another tangent. Weddings on New Year's Eve. I'm sure you can run with that. But
okay.
I didn't know it was a thing. I got invited to two this past year. But anyway, so this guy from Chicago, he had a Chicago hot dog midnight toast. And there's hot dogs at the wedding. And he blessed on them, so I feel good on that. Another thing, if you want to find more about this guy, he's a diving coach. So you could probably check him out on Swim Swam. There might be a write-up on him. Not sure.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And what was the name of that truck again?
That one's Capone's Chicago Eats.
All right. I'm about to check that out. I see it. Capone's Chicago Eats Truck Food. All right. Excellent. Now, top two, we're getting to the big ones here. What's the number two dog in North Carolina?
Number two, you're familiar with them, Hot Dog George, Hot Wieners, The Roast Grill, downtown Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, they are fantastic. They do not change. They do not have ketchup. They do not have fries. They do not sell any food except hot dogs, and they barely got 10 seats in there, but they got a darn good grill and great atmosphere. And what's your number one North Carolina hot dog place?
Number one, you mentioned it before. You've heard about it because you know it's the best. Bill's Hot Dogs,
yeah,
Washington, North Carolina.
It is.
1928, if I'm not mistaken. They've been kicking around, same spot, downtown. They serve dogs. You have three toppings. You can get mustard, you can get chili, you can get onions, you can get them all. And that's what they serve. And just the atmosphere of that place, for the longest time, it was cash only. There's a new owner who's kicking around, maybe getting a little too big for his britches with expansion, regardless. But, you know, it's awesome. I grew up on those hot dogs. We have a place on the Pamlico River, so we'd go in there, and it's not, hey, I want a hot dog. No, it's get 10 of them,
yeah,
minimum, and they're glorious.
And you hear chili, but it's not the chili that you traditionally think of with a hot dog. It's that white bean chili, correct?
It's that white bean, you know, some say it's spicy.
It's so good. Peppery spicy, not like, but like black pepper spicy, not like jalapeno spicy. You know what I mean? Tastes spicy. Jesse at How's the Dog? Appreciate it. Anything else that we should? What about signature dogs specific? Like, there's places like, you know, the trolley stop that are famous down in Wrightsville. Are there signature dogs that jump out to you across the state of North Carolina, either at one of these places or one that you haven't mentioned yet?
I'll put you on to one. It's in Kernersville, which is a little west of Winston-Salem. It's a place called Boondoggies, owned by an App State guy. They've got one called the Coach Moore. So
nice.
Check it out. It's delicious.
Nice. There's plenty of summer left and plenty of time for you to still get a dog. I know you've stuck so far to restaurants, and you do a great job of not only reviewing just hot dog spots, but restaurants that have hot dogs, like, you know, the Carolina Ale House or other places that may not be traditional or hot dog first, but you go ahead and just try their hot dog to let everybody know where they stand.
Yeah.
Have you considered doing like a grocery store review, you know, going in and doing, you know, before a 4th of July or another big hot dog holiday, you know, doing a give me your 3 to 5 best ones that you can buy off the rack?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly on the radar, but I can tell you now, when I'm making them at home, I'm using Carolina Brightleaf. That's a beef and pork red dog. They're out of Smithfield. Or I'll rock the Boar's Head Natural Case all beef, and that's just got a good snap to it, good flavor.
Excellent stuff. Jesse from How's the Hot Dog, I assume if I don't do anything stupid, I'll be invited back to guest host the 4th of July next year, because it's the time where everybody in sports radio takes off. So we should make this an annual tradition to talk hot dogs around the 4th of July, my friend.
Absolutely. I got to get down to Five County and check out their dog as well.
I'm positive we have hot dogs. I don't know. I have no idea if I've ever had a hot dog at Five County Stadium now that you mention it. I get peanuts. Can't have a whole messy hot dog while I'm up there trying to do PA. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, especially at How's the Hot Dog. You won't regret it. He does great work. He takes his hobby seriously, and he makes it easier for you to find the best hot dogs. We appreciate the time, dude. We'll talk to you.
Take care.
All right. Yes. You know, you've heard peanut guys, you've heard cotton candy guys. That is a hot dog guy to minor league baseball game. Hot dog. His top five, again, Pulliam's in Winston-Salem, number five. Mobile's Food Truck in the Raleigh area. Capone's Chicago Eats Food Truck. Hot Dog George, that's the Roast Grill in Raleigh, Hot Dog George Roast Grill. And Bill's Hot Dogs down in Washington, North Carolina with their white bean chili. It is delicious. Do you have a favorite hot dog spot, Cox?
You know, actually, one time I tried to go to the Roast Grill. This is a couple years ago, I'd say. And there was a line out the door, and I did not have that much time. So I'm like, well, I'll have to come back here at some point. Then the pandemic happened. I will say I've heard great things about them. The Cardinal in downtown Raleigh.
Yeah.
I will say this, that what Jesse mentioned about the bun being overlooked oftentimes.
Yeah.
The Cardinal toasts the bun perfectly.
I prefer a steamed bun to a like
that's fair. I respect
like the
that.
Old school when pharmacies used to have a little lunch counter in there and you get a hot dog, they would always like steam the buns.
Yes.
That to me is like the perfect hot dog bun. Here's my other thing on hot dogs and a discovery I've made recently, and it might affect another North Carolina staple. And actually, maybe I should say this till tomorrow because then I can go off the air. It'll be like a late Friday news dump because I'm about to drop a controversial hot take. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
I think that we could... Well, let me start this as a hot dog take.
Okay.
Hot dogs and sausages are all in the same family, right?
Sure.
And some things, like you think of a sausage with peppers and onions.
Mustard, yeah.
Mustard, maybe sauerkraut, like if it's a brat, right?
Sure.
So then when you see a hot dog... It's not crazy to put sauerkraut on it because it's still in the sausage family, right?
Yeah.
If you went into a place and they had a signature dog that was sauerkraut and mustard, and you're like, it's a hot dog, you're like, that's cool, it works, right? So I did that, actually. I had some sauerkraut around. It was organic because we were doing a diet thing, and then the diet ended, making hot dogs, but I still got all this organic sauerkraut. And I'm not a coleslaw guy. I cannot do coleslaw. I hate it.
I don't like coleslaw.
I don't want it anything
either.
Near. I don't want it dripping. Nope. I don't want it to touch anything.
I don't want to look at it.
But I made some dogs recently. The best store-bought dogs you can get are at Food Lion. And I forget the name of the brand. Like, I can visualize it, but I can't tell you the actual name. It's something in Dietz or Dietz and something. It's a something and something. Nobody knows about it, but I'm telling you, it's the best store-bought dog that you can buy. And I make it up, put some mustard on there. A little bit of ketchup because I didn't have traditional chili. I usually don't do ketchup, but I do a little bit if I don't have chili. Dietz and Watson. Best store-bought. And you can only get them at Food Lion. I don't see them at Harris Teeter or Publix or whatever. And then I said, I'm going to put a little bit of sauerkraut on this bad boy. So I did, and it was fantastic.
Mm.
But you know what it got me thinking?
What's that?
Are there other places where we can substitute sauerkraut for coleslaw? Because it's basically just cabbage and vinegar instead of cabbage in mayonnaise, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is blasphemous, but I'm thinking that I need my barbecue sandwich with some sauerkraut on it.
Oh, okay.
Am I crazy here?
No, I
am I going to be kicked out of North Carolina? Are they going to take my North Carolina card?
I don't think so.
Because I think I understand the texture and what coleslaw adds to a barbecue sandwich for a person who can stomach coleslaw or actually likes coleslaw. I can't stand it, but would love to have that, the extra crunch, the coolness, a little moisture, you know what I mean? I think sauerkraut on a barbecue sandwich might just be game-changing, but I'm afraid to like go on Twitter with this take yet because I think I'll be shouted down and like they'll be like, boo this man, boo him. I don't know. I think it could be a thing.
Well, Hayes, we'll find out because I'm going to post the video of you saying that, and I'm going to post it on Twitter.
No, no, no.
That is going to go to the show tweets.
I'm not ready yet.
You've already sent it on air, Hayes. It's already out there. I'm sorry.
I don't know, but this is just
I have to do my job.
This is fleeting sports radio.
As a lowly producer.
Even if you grab the video, this is still fleeting sports radio. Twitter, that's like the real deal.
Oh, I'm going to put it on Twitter.
That's where Swim Swam News posts their reports that everyone will remember forever. That's Swim Swam News. Falling flat on their face on an ESPN, on a ACC rumor is exactly why I don't want to go boldly onto Twitter with my sauerkraut on barbecue sandwiches take. That's all. I don't know. We have some time left in the show. Let's take a look back at a quick rewind. Coach Rod Brindamore stopped by today. He's awesome, man. And he's got a lot of things on his mind. He's got free agency. Doesn't know who's going to be on his team next year, who's going to get paid. He's got to pick new players. And he's out here telling me that I'm doing a great job. He was nice to me. He made me feel good about myself. And he also told me he didn't like the darn schedule. What does Rod Brindamore not like about it? He told us.
I'm actually going in a meeting now to try to figure out the travel for it and the hotel. So all the stuff that, you know, the little things that nobody cares about. But, yep. I mean, it's out. I'm not really pumped. We got a lot of road, like too much time on the road. I don't like that where there's games, days off in between the road games. I hate that. So it is what it is. At the end of the day, we got 82 games in 183 days. So
yep.
Everyone's got the same thing.
41 at home, 41 on the road. What's an ideal schedule? I heard one thing you say there was too much time on the road in between games.
Yeah.
That makes sense where like you're not doing anything. Yeah. You'd rather be at home.
Right.
What's an ideal schedule?
Terrible. Well, I love it when we go, let's say we go on a California trip and you play 3 and 4 days. You play, you know, San Jose, Anaheim, L.A., and you do it quickly, not how we're doing it. We fly to San Jose all the way from here and then fly to Seattle and then up to Canada. Like, it's stupid. And then you have 2 days in between games. That's not good. You know, too much time on the road just wears you out. That's kind of been my theory. So I like to just kind of crunch them in and then have more time at home on the road or at home.
Interesting from Rod Brindamore. I feel like the conventional wisdom is, you hear this all the time in the NBA, is you want fewer back-to-backs, right? You don't want to play the 3 games in 4 days, but it makes a lot of sense. What I hear him saying is travel in general is hard, right? Like just by virtue of, you know, it's mentally fatiguing being in a hotel room. It probably adds to the slog of the season when it's February or March. You can't really think about the playoffs because they're so far off. But your body is just tired. You're mentally worn down from the slog of getting up to another game, another city, another travel, another flight, whatever. And he's saying the more time that you can, even on days you don't have games, you'd rather be back at home. And so he'd rather go out there, play 3 games in 4 days, include a back-to-back, if that means that he gets home quicker and can do that rest time at home as opposed to on the road. That makes sense to me. Rod Brindamore, smart guy. And I'll bet there's somewhere where he can issue that complaint. I don't know. But who knows if they'll listen. With the few minutes remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly, rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
First up on Rightly Rated, Arby's. Is Arby's overrated, underrated, or properly, rightly rated? This comes up because one of the few remaining, I don't know how else to describe it. I don't want to say a word that I don't know if I can say a word. So I'll say big old cowboy hats.
Yes.
The RB big old cowboy hat sign.
They took it down?
It's already down. It is dismantled and gone from the Arby's on Hillsborough Street. Now, there is that. I bemoan. I don't like it when anytime anything closes, everyone does the, oh, man, this city is gone. It's ruined. Can't believe they shut down the Arby's, right? It's like, come on, man. It's not that. But there is a little something, too, when it's a big sign that you're used to being there forever and ever. Now, I'm not somebody who, like, that's not my entrance to town or something, right? You more think about those landmarks of like, oh man, driving in, that the first thing you would see is the whatever, and now that's going to be closed. But yeah, the Arby's cowboy sign in downtown Raleigh on Hillsborough Street is gone. Is Arby's overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
I'll say overrated.
Okay. The sign or the food?
Yes. The sign actually underrated. The food overrated.
The food. Arby's back in the day
used to be great.
I didn't even think it was fast food. Like, that's how slick they were. My grandmother would take me there, and they would hand slice warm roast beef. Like, they, you know, at Jersey Mike's, where you go there and they like cut it. They would be doing that with roast beef. You saw the warm roast beef sliced, and you knew you were getting a freshly cut roast beef sandwich. It was warm, and the Arby's sauce is kind of delicious, a little tangy. And then the Jamocha shake. Arby's, as a whole, is probably overrated. The Jamocha shake, for years, for decades, has been one of the most underrated desserts in the fast food world. And most people don't know about it because the name Jamocha scares people away and they don't realize it's just coffee. I don't know why they don't call it a coffee shake. I didn't know what it meant as a kid. I just knew I liked it. Jamocha shake moves Arby's from overrated to rightly rated all on its own. It's a fantastic thing.
All right.
I don't have time to do any more rightly rated. I don't have enough energy to get into one like that because we only got a few seconds left. So let me take the time remaining to just remind you, there are credible people out there that are following this conference realignment thing. And nobody sounds credible with this song running under them. But nobody writing credibly about conference realignment writes for swimswimnews.com. I'm going to leave you with that. We're out.
This is the Adam Gold Show.